This episode of The Honeydew is brought to you by Raycon, Babbel, Green Chef, and Mint Mobile. More on that later. Let's get into the do.
The Honeydew with Ryan Sickler.
Welcome back to The Honeydew, y'all. We're over here doing it in the Nightpan Studios. I'm Ryan Sickler, RyanSickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. I can't thank you guys enough. Thank you. Thank you for the support. Thank you for everything you're doing to help this show grow. I really do appreciate it. I love my fucking job, and I love y'all, all right? I want to tell you about some tour dates. Nightpants Nation Tour is getting underway, guys. Hitting it in the fall, basically. So September 16th through the 18th, I'm in Phoenix, all right? September 30th through October 2nd, I'm in Indianapolis, y'all. Coming to Indy. I'm in Vegas with Tom Segura, October 8th and 9th, and October 28th, I'm headlining the Brea Improv out here in Brea, California. Go to RyanSickler.com. You'll see all the tour dates there. Sign up for the email list. You'll be on there to know about everything. The Honeydew Podcast is the website for the show. And please subscribe to the YouTube. I get asked so many times how you can help. It's free. It means nothing to you. Hit subscribe. It means everything to me. That's all you got to do. You're watching it. Just subscribe to it, all right? The Patreon show, it's $5 a month. It's the Honeydew with y'all. I'm doing the same show that I do with all of our guests, but with y'all. If you or someone you know has that story that has to be heard, submit it to honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. We'll go through them. We'll get you on. We've had so many amazing stories. I can't tell you. They keep coming in. I'm not going anywhere, and I'm not dogging it. I'm not doing half-hour shows. I'm doing hour-plus shows with every single one of y'all, and it's $5 a month, all right? And for $5, you get the entire back catalog, and you get this show, The Honeydew, ad-free, a day early, at no additional cost, all right? It's $5 a month. If you sign up for a year, you get over a month free. It's a pretty damn good deal, so jump on it and join that community over there, all right? Also, you guys know about these D1 athletes now. They can get paid. They can get sponsored. We don't want D1 athletes. We're the Honeydew. I want D2s. I want JUCOs. We already got two on board, okay? We've got Caden Wood. Caden Wood, my man's a D2 pitcher at Seton Hill. Don't confuse that with Seton Hall. Seton Hill, all right? And they went to the College World Series this year. I got Marcus Everett, who's a fisherman, but he's a bow fisherman. This dude, the fish don't stand a chance. I'm looking for athletes. You got to be good, though. Don't come at me with some bullshit. Give me a bowler. Give me a dart thrower. Is there a fucking cornhole champion? Where are you? Give me some goddamn, frisbee. Frisbee golf. I'll get one of you guys. I'm sponsoring. Let's go. Submit your fucking request at honeydewpodcast@gmail.com. Just put honeydew athlete in your subject, and let's see if we can't rock you some gear and get out there and support the do. All right. Now, that's all the bullshit to get out of the way. You know what we do here? We highlight the lowlights. I always say these are the stories behind the storytellers. Today's storyteller, very excited to have here. First time on The Honeydew, ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Morrow, y'all. Welcome to The Honeydew.
Thank you, man.
Thank you for being
Thanks
here.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, this is long overdue, dude. You're one of the New York guys I've been wanting to get on here for a while.
Thank you, man. Mark Norman told me to reach out. I was like, I should do Ryan's thing.
Yeah, so. Mark's done it a couple times.
Yeah.
We learned on here that Mark Norman lost his virginity at the
time. To a hooker.
But who was older than his own mom.
Wow. That's kind of...
He was like, I've never thought about it. I was like, bro, you lost your virginity to a woman older than your mom? He's like, I did. Yeah, a prostitute.
He's got grandma issues then. That's crazy.
That's what I'm saying. You like expired milk and shit?
Damn.
All right. Before we get into highlighting your lowlights, plug, promote everything you want.
Well, I'm on the road every week. You can get those dates at samurl.com/shows. So I think this month, Lexington, Kentucky, Kansas City, Missouri, Portland, Oregon, and Royal Oak, Michigan. Then the next month, it's like Philly, Boston, St. Louis, all over. But yeah, I got the pod with Norman, the drinking podcast, We Might Be Drunk, basketball pod, Pod Don't Lie, and I got a couple specials on YouTube.
You got great specials on YouTube.
Thank you, man.
Yeah, and you did it yourself.
Yeah, I mean, it's the only way to go. And I mean, you LA guys figured out the podcasting, how to make it look nice. We got off Zoom like 2 weeks ago in New York, but, you know, It is like legit production value. I got sick of just waiting for people to be like, some of those bigger networks or streamers, they're like, we're going to take 5 months to review and then say no. And I'm like, all I have is time, you know? So you can reject me, but don't suck my time.
Yeah, do it now.
I don't want to get too precious about material. I like to just burn it. So if someone steals a bit, I'm not like heartbroken. I'm like, yeah, whatever. I dumped that joke anyway, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I just want to keep putting stuff out there.
Well, I love your shit. And I love people do it like that because, you know, we talk about it. The last, whatever, year, more, 15 months, these people weren't working.
Yeah.
These agents, these managers, these everybody.
A lot of vacation photos, I see.
Yeah, a lot of vacation photos.
Yeah.
I got a salary. I've got a 401k.
A lot of them got fired, though. A lot of agents did get fired, yeah. But yeah.
And then guess what?
Yeah.
What were they doing then? They weren't working, but guess who kept rolling right along? Comics kept putting out content. Because now you can. Now you got this fucking... I don't know why we keep calling them phones. These are goddamn computers in our pockets, but you can do anything you want now from a phone.
Crazy. I mean, yeah.
Anything you want. You don't need any of that. Like, it all shifted. And anyone that's thinking 2019, it's a motherfucking wrap. Dave Chappelle went out to a cornfield.
Yeah.
And made a show and people came. You don't need that. It doesn't need
that
to be
Madison
Square Garden.
That story wasn't inspiring to me because he's already got, like, what? 40 million in the bank.
But a guy that could go Madison Square Garden tonight.
For sure.
Guy that could go Staples Center. Staples. What am I talking about? He could go sell out SoFi, probably.
It's cool that Chappelle is such a purist that he's like, I'll do it anywhere.
That's right.
You know, but...
showed that you can.
Yeah.
And that people will go there. There was not one person like, man, I'm not going to see that if it's not at the Garden.
Right.
I'm not going to see that if it's not at this club. They were like, I'm going to see Dave fucking Chappelle.
Well, that's what we realized during the pandemic, right? People will go anywhere. Like, how many nights can you watch Queen's Gambit before you're like, I'm good. I got it. You know, like,
yeah.
I was doing shows in, like, the East River Amphitheater.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Rooftops, parking lots. And that Supernova show here, I was telling you, I really think, like, there's going to be rules and things. Like, I love the early morning hours for senior citizens at grocery stores. I think that shit should stay.
For sure.
You know, I think the delivery of alcohol from restaurants now should – I want your fucking margarita. That should stay.
That's cool, yeah.
And there's a couple shows that are going to make it, I think. And that Supernova show is fucking one of the best shows in this city.
Good outdoor shows – If they stay, they earned it because no one wants to do outdoor shows at this point. People were asking me like, "Come do my back alley." I'm like, that was a pandemic thing, dude.
Yes.
I'm not now with indoor options. I don't want to do, but the roofs too. It's like those were kind of special to do just because they were like private and they felt like almost like prohibition style, like comedy's elite. There are people lighting joints who are like, is this okay? I'm like, dude, none of this is legal. We're not supposed to be on a roof telling
none of this is okay.
You know? So, I mean, I loved it. I loved it. I never want to do it again, but I loved it.
So, let's talk. Did you say your social media? You said your website.
Oh, it's just my name. Yeah, right. Sam Morrell.
But how do you spell your name? Because I always want to put an extra L on it. It's two R's, one L, right?
Yep, SamMorrell.
Yeah. All right.
Makes no sense phonetically. It's one of those annoying things where my dad's like, it's Morrell, not Moral. I'm like,
oh, see,
cool.
I said immoral.
I don't give a shit, but he cares.
Well,
and that
say,
made me be like, should I like, I'm, I feel like I'm like.
But that's his name, so I get
it. I know.
But let's talk about your dad.
Sure.
Because it looks like all we left
was
you with
a good
was
segue.
A name.
That was not, no. This is my stepdad's name.
Okay.
No, my name growing up was my mom's name is Greenberg.
Okay.
So that was that, and then my biological dad's last name is Elgort.
Say it again.
Elgort.
Elgort.
Yeah.
All right. I like Morrell way better.
Yeah. Elgort's. You know, it's fine. Yeah.
So tell me about your biological dad.
Well, I didn't meet him.
So how do your parents, were they married when they had you, or did they just?
They weren't married.
Okay.
I haven't asked the whole story because I feel like it'll upset my mom. You know, I don't.
Yeah. Can't make her cry through that, to tell you.
I actually have a bit about this now that I've been working on, where it's like the idea of it was like whenever you tell someone that you were like an unplanned, you know, a mistake, they're like, "Oh, well, it was unplanned or broken condom." And I'm like, I've never broached it with my mom because I love her. Like, I can't imagine pulling my mom aside, like, "Mom, real quick, did you get raw dogged or what? Like, what happened?
Hey, did that come in you on purpose or was it an accident?"
I know I ruined our relationship, but my friend Gary wants to know. So, you know, certain things I haven't asked in detail because I think it would upset her, but...
What do you think?
Probably casually dating and would be my guess, but I don't want to...
And she got pregnant.
Yeah.
And he was like, no.
I have a
or
little
was he
more
there
empathy.
First?
No, he wasn't there. No. I never met him until much later in my life.
Okay.
I was probably 19 when I met him, but...
Wow, all right.
So he... Yeah, no, he was gone. He had lost his wife, I think, not too long ago to cancer before they started.
I see.
So I think he was like, I can't do a kid right now. He already had a kid.
Okay.
I haven't met him. I haven't met the half-brother,
you know,
I guess.
Okay. Yeah. So you have a half-brother.
Yeah.
That he had already had.
I think he lives out here. That would be a great surprise if you just had – we have a special guest
for you.
You ain't
gonna believe it is right now.
But no, I never met him, but I brought it up to my biological dad once. I was kind of like, oh, maybe it'd be cool to meet him. He's like, yeah, you know, I put that out there and he didn't seem interested. I was like, all right. I was like, never mind.
Saw your last bug on that rooftop, man.
He's like, not for me. But it's weird. He looks a little like me, which is he's much older. He's probably like 20 years older than me. So.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Or maybe like my biological dad's old. He's like in his mid-80s. So.
Oh, shit.
Yeah,
he
had me. I was like, yeah.
So how old was he when he had you?
50s.
50s?
Yeah.
How old was your mom?
40 or 41.
Oh, so she's an older mom.
I think that's
what
I was. I'm her only biological son. Yeah, it's like, and then my dad who raised me was like, I call dad. I love him. He's like legally, he's a lawyer. So he's like, I want to make this official, like in a courtroom and legally adopt you. And he's a great dad. You know, he really is. It's like,
all right. So let's go back for a sec. So you're raised by a single mom then
for a few years.
That's a long time though when you're just one parent with a baby, especially a newborn.
Yeah, yeah.
And then she meets your stepdad.
Yeah, they got set up on a blind date.
For real?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And my dad he's funny. He said to her on the phone, he said, I have a bit of a receding hairline, just like a bit. And then they met and he's completely bald. So it's a pretty good. It's a pretty good, pretty good tease. He's a funny guy. And then, he has two kids of his own who are my stepbrother and stepsister. We just go brother, sister. We don't play those.
All right, so you're all close then?
Yeah, I don't see my sister a ton because she works so much. I feel like I text with my brother more, you know? But I'm gone every week.
I was going to say, do they ever like fly out to a close gig and kick it with you for the weekend?
No.
That's just some shit my cousin's trying to work out with me now because he wants to get away from
really?
He goes, hey, I'm going to just tell my wife it's research. Like, if you're in Atlanta or something, I'll fly down on a Southwest flight from Baltimore for $70. Can I just kick it with you in Atlanta? I was like, fuck yeah.
If he wanted to do that,
I'd rather do that than hang out with some strangers
or whatever. My sister would never do that. She's got three kids. She's never sleeps. She's like, you know, got a high pressure job. My brother, I could see that would be good. Like going, that's like Sideways too. They're going through the divorce type situation, you know.
Yeah.
But on a road gig,
Sideways too.
It's kind of got that fun vibe, right?
That is a part two,
dude. I love. I would love that.
All right, so stepdad comes in.
Great, he's a great dad.
And right away, he takes to you, and you take to him. And
yeah, I was so young. I just was like, I remember him. I remember us writing the name because I was Sam Greenberg up until then. And he was like, well, you're going to take my name now that I'm marrying your mom. And I was like, oh, okay. And I remember him like, I couldn't get Morrell right. You know, I was just like writing it. And he's like, close, not right. And then, you know, so yeah, it was pretty instant that we just kind of became a family, you know.
So when you're saying dad out here, you refer right
I
now.
I call
you
my
refer
dad. I say biological dad for
right.
the other one.
So you never took his. You never had his name. You were
never,
your mom's
no.
Greenberg, and then Morrell.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it would be crazy if I took. That's a painful reminder right
yeah,
there. If I just.
It
is. But I, I say biological dad before him. I used to have a bit about this where I'd say my biological dad. People were like, "Was he a good dad?" And I was like, "If he were, I probably wouldn't refer to him as my biological." Dad.
Yeah.
Does anyone
have to put that out?
Does anyone think he knocked it out of the park if that's how I'm introducing him to people? You know?
Oh, shit.
But no, but
so as you're growing up, when do you start to question or want to know or be interested about biological?
I'll tell you, I was satisfied with my dad. I love my dad. So I think I wasn't really curious until I dated a girl who had two psychiatrists or parents, which good. If you were a psychiatrist two. And you marry another psychiatrist, just don't have kids. You're going to fuck them up. She would pull this move. We were like 19 and fight. She would just pull this move where she'd be like, who are you really yelling at?
Oh, nah.
And I'd be like, that's fucking you.
Yeah.
What do you think?
You bitch.
So she would pull that move in fights a lot. And it got to a point where I was like, I guess I got to meet him. So I brought it up to my mom.
Wait, they encouraged this? Is that what it was?
It was just how they raised her to be very like, this is your parent. You have issues with your parents. That's why you're mad at me. Not that it was like it would take away anything that she did. You know, any responsibility for her action. So I remember I asked my mom, I was like, well, I'd like to just meet him. I'm just curious. And she said, all right, well, why don't you – he left you a safety deposit box, like a note in the bank. He left a note for you, which is like – it's like, what is this fucking – it's like a movie.
But you didn't know that at the time?
No. She was weird when I brought it up, and I understand why.
It's sure.
Like, and meanwhile, my dad who raised me is just like – go for it. Like, he just knew he was, like, not a great dad. It was like, I heard a story once that Brad Pitt was dating.
Oh, I see. He's like, yeah, go ahead.
Brad Pitt was dating Jennifer Aniston, and I think Ashton Kutcher's like, can I just take her on a date? And he was like, go ahead. That was the vibe of my dad meeting you know, he's like, you're not going to win, you know? Mm-hmm. So I met him, and I call him, and I was like, hey. And he's like, hey.
Now, real quick, had your mom had any contact with him during these years?
No.
Nothing. Okay.
No.
And he never reached out to meet you or.
No,
okay.
No.
All right.
Which is fucking weird.
Like, it is weird.
I'm so.
Because you're night. That's two decades. You don't even wonder.
Well, yeah, it's weird that I didn't. I think
I was. Not you. I mean, him also.
I was holding a lot in. I remember I saw a therapist. I went to Tulane for like a year and a half in New Orleans. I remember I saw a therapist there. It was so weird. It looked like. Dude, it was Katrina had just hit. So it was like a flooded hospital where I saw this therapist. It looked like Shutter Island. It was the weirdest shit I've ever seen, you know? But my mom's like, this is the therapist you're going to see. So I was like, all right. You know, it's kind of like a, you know, I acted out a lot. So I remember I saw this therapist and he was like roasty. That's the only way to, like, he was kind of a dick. He was really smart and a good therapist, but he would like zing you. Like, I remember I was like, yes, I was giving my background. I was like, well, there's a few years it was just me and my mom. And he goes, you and mommy against the world. And I was like, what the fuck? Like, what's your problem?
Like, that is weird.
I was like, no, I picked Rickles to go through my shit. But
let's take a quick break and tell you about our first sponsor, Raycon. And no matter how you're feeling about getting back out there, there's no denying it's an adjustment. And when the world gets too loud, something I love to do is create my own soundtrack by popping in my Raycon wireless earbuds. Sometimes you need some upbeat music to pump you up before you see people, or to stay calm with some guided meditation, or stay calm with some people you're about to see. So let me tell you right now, Raycons are the best way to listen. They come with a bunch of gel tips for your comfort, and unlike some of the other brands, they don't stick out of your ears, all right? I use them all the time. I travel with them, listen to music when I walk, exercise, everything. I love it, and I do that. I put music in and then I see videos to it in my head. I like really make a soundtrack to that stuff. And Raycons have a 32-hour battery life, so you can listen to what you want when you want for a really long time. And they start at half the price of other premium audio brands, but they sound just as good. And Raycons come with a 45-day happiness guarantee, so you really can't lose. Give them a try and you'll see what I mean. Create your own soundtrack with Raycon right now. Honeydew listeners can get 15% off their Raycon order at buyraycon.com/honeydew. That's buyraycon.com/honeydew to save 15% on Raycons. Buyraycon.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Babbel. This summer, get the most out of your travels abroad by learning the language of your destination with Babbel. It's the number one selling language learning app. From ordering in restaurants or asking for directions to gaining a deeper understanding of the culture, Babbel makes the whole process of learning a new language addictively fun and easy. And with bite-sized lessons you can actually use in the real world, Babbel is a can't-miss travel essential. Look, I actually started using Babbel before they even came on board because that's how good they were. I started taking Spanish. I went to Mexico and wanted to brush up on my middle school Spanish. And it's going bueno, y'all. It's going bueno. All right? Excelente. Muy excelente. And what I really do like about it is, so you'll take your lesson and then they'll do reviews of it and little snapshots of it. So it's always peppering you with reminding and you, and also it's not like it's, what would you say? I guess it's street Spanish. It's common Spanish. You're learning like the language of people talk on the street, not walking up being all like proper and might I have some tea? You're not doing that shit, all right? So Babbel's 15-minute lessons make it the perfect way to learn a new language on the go. And unlike the infamous language classes you took in high school, middle school, whatever, Babbel designs their courses with practical, real-world conversations in mind, all right? Things you'll get to use in everyday life. Other language learning apps use AI for their lessons plans, but Babbel lessons were created by over 100 language experts, and their teaching method has been scientifically proven to be effective. With Babbel, you can choose from 14 different language, including Spanish, French, Italian, and German. And plus, Babbel speech recognition technology helps you improve your pronunciation and your accent. All right. There are so many ways to learn with Babbel and additional lessons. You can access podcasts, games, videos, stories, and even live classes. All right. So right now, when you purchase a 3-month Babbel subscription, you'll get an additional 3 months for free. That's 6 months for the price of 3. Just go to Babbel.com, promo code Honeydew. That's Babbel.com, code Honeydew for an extra 3 months free. Now, let's get back to the Dew.
So I think like I had been in therapy, but it was like casual. It wasn't like anything serious. And then, so then I call Bob is his name. I call Bob and I said, hey, this is Sam, you know, I guess no way other than say your biological son.
This is your first contact.
Yeah, right? Yeah. And apparently he told me later, he's like, I was on the crapper when you called.
No,
like,
of course, he's taking a shit.
Got a cigarette in his mouth. No.
Sam.
But, he, you know, here's a...
Is that what she named you?
I would have gone with something a little cooler, but Sam, fine.
He
knew my name because she saw him on the street once, like along... like when I was like a baby, she was pushing me in a stroller.
No, come on.
It's New York.
Can you imagine? I know, that's what I'm saying. Can you imagine being your mom and this stranger comes by while you're pushing his child? Like, fuck. That's
yeah,
deep,
no, I feel for my mom. You know, I think she's been through stuff, you know, and then... Yeah, so she's run into him, and he just was like, all right. He wasn't very warm.
Did he even look in or anything?
No.
God!
So she just said, this is Sam, and he just goes, looks like you, and walked away. Like, he's got a side to him that's
God,
like, all
yeah,
right.
No shit.
Yeah, so I heard that. I was like, well, he's probably not, like, the best person. You know, I don't.
Yeah.
I now that I know him, he's not a bad person. He's just not a good
a bad dad.
Yeah, yeah, there's a difference.
There is a difference.
There are friends of mine who I'm like, you're a great dude. That's not, it doesn't mean you're a great dad.
Or husband.
Yes. Exactly.
I mean, look, my mom was a shitty mom, okay? But she's got a lot of friends.
Yeah.
So she's probably a good friend. But that just because you're one good thing, I love that you're saying this because people don't get this. We play so many roles in our lives, father, cousin, brother, whatever the fuck it is. You're not batting 1,000 at all
exactly.
those titles. You're just
exactly.
not. You're just not. You
no.
can't. So someone that might think you're a shitty aunt, you
yeah.
might be a great mom and a great teacher, but you could still be a shitty aunt. You're not going to be perfect.
Truer words have never been spoken. And you're a stepdad. I mean, so I respect people who decide to take – because that's no one's blueprint. No one is like going through life like someday I'm going to raise someone else's kid.
Yeah.
No one is planning on that.
Yeah.
So I respect people who do that, you know? But – so I have so much love for my dad, you know? Whereas – you know, so I meet Bob. I meet him like somewhere.
Where do you meet? Yeah.
It's like a coffee shop type place, like a little, like a diner-ish, cafe-ish place. And I remember it was both of us. He looks exactly like me, and I've never had that.
Is he tall like you?
Yeah, he's tall. My grandfather looked a little bit like me. My uncle looks a little bit like me. But he looked, I'm like, oh, shit, this is weird.
When you say grandfather and uncle, those mom's side?
Mom's side, yeah.
So you never knew nothing from his side?
I didn't know his side.
Nothing at all.
I do a little bit now. I know, like.
You know his parents? Are they gone?
They're gone.
Yeah, he's 80.
If they were alive, I'd be like,
133.
I don't want to meet you. This is going to be fucking weird. Yeah. But, yeah, I met him there. And, yeah, it was so weird. And I met his wife is really cool. His wife.
All right, hold on.
Yeah.
You walk in.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you there first or is he there first?
He was there first.
Do you hug or do you shake hands or neither?
I think it was like a wave. It was like, yeah. I mean, a hug is weird.
I'm just asking, yeah.
He gave me a hug at the end.
At the end.
Yeah. But.
So you wave and you sit down. It's just him and you?
Yeah.
Okay. And what's the first, do you remember the first thing he says to you?
I think he was just like, wow. Because he was like, you look a lot like
me. He couldn't deny that.
Yeah.
And what did he say?
I mean, he tried to early in the year. That doesn't look like me. No.
Looks like you. I got to take a shit. I'm out of here.
Yeah. So I think.
What do you talk about?
He just like kind of asked who I was, I think. And I asked who he was. And like, I didn't know anything about him. I was like, what did you do for work? And what kind of person
were
you?
What did he do?
He worked in advertising.
Okay.
Yeah. I think he just wanted to know. He's like, what did I miss? I'm like, well.
Catch me up. I got time for a cup of coffee. Can you wrap up the last 2 decades?
Kind of, right? I mean, that was kind of the vibe of it. And then, so he goes, well, I live right by here. Do you want to just come up for a minute and meet my wife? And I said, all right. And his wife is very much like you would like her. She's very much in entertainment. She toured with Cher. She was Cher's hairstylist. She was Lily Tomlin's hairstylist.
Oh, come on.
So she's like best friends with Lily Tomlin, who I fucking love.
Yeah.
Like who doesn't love Lily Tomlin?
Yeah.
She's a genius, you know? So.
And she's got music and comedy deep roots, huh?
Crazy.
So she gets it.
So she would be like, this is years ago, she'd be like, oh, I know a lot of comics because of The Road. Like, comics would open for Cher. Do you know, like, Dom Herrera? I'd be like, Dom Herrera? Like,
this is crazy. I didn't know
you for like, Cher. Yeah, I'm like, that guy's the best. Like, what do you mean? So, yeah, it was pretty cool. And she was like, what? She was more like, this is insane. And it's one of those things where.
So it's hitting her big.
It's hitting her hard where she's like, the look is weird. And it's one of those things you don't realize you're bottling stuff up until that happens.
You also don't even realize what you have bottled up until it all pops.
For sure.
When that cork pops, you don't know what the fuck's coming out.
That's so true. It's because it's. It's an unknown. So it just hits you at once. You're like, oh, that's weird. And I remember she, the girl was dating at the time, came by too. And he would come to shows sometimes. He would come to comedy shows. He's
okay,
much
so
older.
So after
now.
You meet him, he starts having a bit of a.
We had a bit of a relationship.
But tell me, he lived in a neighborhood. How close were you to this coffee shop?
Jeez. I mean, I was living with my folks at the time. I was probably a couple miles away.
So you're by a lot. I'm telling you, this is. Even on the Patreon,
yeah,
I have so many guests, myself included. My mom left the family. She moved a mile and a half down the road. Jay Larson's dad moved a neighborhood over.
Yeah.
And I'm saying, like, if you're going to leave your fucking family, get out of the zip code so we don't – you know, I'm running into
another
you at
borough,
fucking
please.
Target and shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, why do we got to see
that's
each
like
other
a pitch,
on the street?
That's how good Manhattan is. You're like, I'm not – I want to stay. It's got everything, you know?
This is my neighbor. I was here first.
My friend Damian Lemon, who's really funny, he used to have a bit about it. He's like, I had the type of dad that would leave the family but stay in the neighborhood. So
yeah,
basically what you're saying. Yeah, I mean –
this kid I had on Patreon, his biological father ended up living – he's like – he lived on my street. I would drive. We drive past his house every day. So many people say they left the family, but they didn't leave the fucking neighborhood.
It's so weird.
It is.
You know, we. It's weird. A thing in therapy too. I felt bad, like even complain about it because I had a good childhood in a lot of ways. In a lot of ways, it was a really great childhood, and I had a loving family. So it felt weird. He's like, you. Make any excuse. This is what my therapist was like. You make any excuse to avoid feeling anything. And I was like, that's not true. And then I took a martini. Said, no, I,
no. It's like a tequila. Like, what are you talking
about? What are you talking about? No, I, but he's got a point probably.
He's got a point probably, but also the whole point of therapy too is to deal with the shit and then look at the positive. You yeah. already were looking at the positive. You just hadn't dealt with the dog shit. Yeah. But also, you know, You said it. It's interesting because you only knew your stepdad.
Yeah,
and that it, how do you it's got to feel like your father.
He is my dad. Yeah. I just call him dad. I mean, I was so young, I didn't know anything. I think that's part of the reason I never wanted to deal with it, because I just knew it wouldn't feel great. Like those people.
Well, like he
leave.
Said, go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead and dig into that shit.
My friend Joe DeRosa has this bit where
you know the
bit I'm talking about, where he said, you know, he's adopted, and people say, you ever try to meet your real parents? And he goes, no, I took the hint, actually. Just like,
I took the hint.
Is there like a better short joke? Jesus Christ.
No.
That's like perfect.
That is perfect.
That's kind of how I felt.
There's where it was, no fat on that at all.
But that's kind of how I felt, where it was like, I know it's not like you're gonna show up and you're like, oh, this guy is a fucking perfect guy.
Yeah. Hey.
So
all right, so you have this meeting, you go up, you meet his wife, and now are you texting, talking?
Yeah, we talk every once in a while. He would call
more no.
Yeah, we would meet a little more. It was more.
And how does your mom feel about all that? She's supportive, or
she's supportive as she can be. I don't think she's thrilled. I don't think it's like, oh, great, you're meeting this dude who I have an opinion of. You're not going to get an unbiased take.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't think she loved that. I would try to not bring it up. And then she would casually like, oh, do you talk? Just curious, do you talk to him? And I'd say, yeah, a little bit.
Did they ever see each other at one of your shows?
No, I made sure that never happened.
Yeah.
I would say you can't
He would
come
definitely
with,
tell you.
I'd be like, mom gets first pick yeah. on the show. You're not, if she's coming, you can't come, you know? So, but they're not. I mean, that he didn't come to like that. He came to a couple of shows. He brought his nephews to a couple. He brought them to a show once. I think it was me and Chris D opening for Daryl Hammond like a long time ago at Caroline's.
And he was came to see that?
He came to see it, yeah. And so, I mean, I don't talk to him as much now. It got harder. You know, he has some mental issues. So he had a bit of a depressive breakdown. So it became harder to talk to him. And then I was kind of like, the irony of me having to come take care of him is not lost on me. So that became difficult.
Where are you now with it?
Well, I think I'm still kind of figuring it out. He lives like 9 blocks from me. So that's when it becomes – I would see him on the street and be like, oh, I can't
you
do
would.
This right now. Yeah, I'd have to like take a different path.
It's my dad.
Yeah, I can't do this right now. So I would walk. I didn't consider him my dad though, because he's just some dude. But that's even weirder. You're like, that's some dude that just looks like me. I was like, how do I introduce him to people?
Yeah.
I said, oh, this is Bob. And they just look at both of us and I'd be like, just call him Bob. All right? But I remember seeing him. I saw him at the rec center once. I have a lot of bits about the rec center because I always just would swim laps to the rec center and he would just be there doing physical therapy. So it was one of the things where I'd be like, hey, and he'd be like, hey. And it was
that
like,
that is crazy. Doesn't that fucking, I know when you walk through it in the middle of the day and you just deal with it, it feels normal. But at the end of the day, when you really, that is fucking nuts. That's a father and son.
Yeah.
Hey, and don't even really.
Yeah.
Man.
It's weird.
Have you ever done material about him when he's been in the audience?
Yeah.
And how does he take that?
He laughs. He says it like a very.
I was shitty. I did leave. I didn't even know what he called you, Sam.
He would say like, he'll say it like this. Okay, boy, you gave me a good roasting in there. That's how he puts it. And I'm like, all right.
It doesn't even faze.
One of my first jokes about it, something about like how I was like 19 or 20 when I had this bit where it was like, yeah, I met my biological father in a coffee shop, and it was something like along the lines of like, I'm like, it was like a restaurant. It was like a family style restaurant. The joke was like, they should make broken family style restaurants where you just walk in like, where's the waiter? I think this guy just left, you know? That was kind of the premise of it, but it was yeah, but he thought it was funny. He was like, that's good. But then, but it's tough because I definitely had some anger where it's like, at first you're like, this is great. And then you're like, oh, I have a little bit of anger here, I'm sure. And then you deal with stuff in therapy where you're like, I do have issues with abandonment, like a lot of people do. I also have issues, but it's like also I feel dumb even saying, like, who's like, oh, cool, I was abandoned. You know?
Yeah.
Who likes being abandoned?
Nobody's no rallying one. Around that cry. Yeah.
But then I also have issues feeling smothered because my mom was for a certain. So it's weird that those kind of coincide.
Yeah. You know? All right. There's so much I want to talk to you about. I want to get to. Can we switch gears?
Sure.
And just go to this weird sex setup you were telling me about.
Oh,
got
yeah.
A few stories that are.
This happened like 8 or 9 years ago. I went on a date with a girl. I just had a breakup. I met her on some app. It was probably like Tinder or something. And I remember seeing her picture, and she looked good in the picture. But then I see her, she looked even better, which is like, when the hell does that happen?
Yeah.
Ever. So we met this date. We went to a bar in Brooklyn, and I got drunk. I was going to say we got drunk, but it was me. I was fucking drunk. And at the end of the day, I remember she was so proper. I remember I kissed her, and as she like pulled away, she goes, "Oh my, I didn't expect that." And I was drunk, so I was like, "You better fucking expect it." And I just never, she didn't contact me ever again, which is like, you know, it's fine. Like I think I texted her like once or twice, and she didn't message me. And then just one afternoon, months later, on a Friday, she texted me like, "Where are you?" And I said, "I'm in Union Square in New York. What's up?" And she writes, "I want to see you and I want to get freaky with you." And I remember writing back, "Oh yeah?" with a question mark. Like, what do you, I don't know what the fuck to say to that. It's not like a everyday text I get. And then she writes, "Do you want to get your dick sucked or not?" Yeah. So I was at lunch with my parents at the time. I excused myself,
like,
obviously.
I'm not.
I got to go.
Yeah. So I'm getting dessert. Yeah. I just not here.
But you know what it was? It felt – she was so proper on the date. It felt out of character. So I remember I called her and I was like – expecting it to be some dude stole her phone.
Sure,
like, he's
going to
rob me. I was like, "Hey, what's up?" And she's like, "Look, I had a bad week at work. I want to see you and I want to fuck you." And I was like, "All right." So I go back to the table with my mom. I remember I was with Rachel Feinstein earlier today, one of my best friends, really funny comic. And she's like a sister to me. So I this is what happens. I'm just setting that up now. But I tell my mom, I said, "Mom, I have to leave. This audition just came up." And, it's like fucking, I don't lie to my mom. So I feel shitty. I felt even shittier when she was like, "Go get him, Sam." I was like, "Oh." I was like, "This is,
well,
my parents are like, good luck. Have a good audition."
Cheering you on to get your dick sucked.
I felt so low. And then I remember calling Rachel because I was like, "Hey, just a heads up. I'm going to this weird address. I'm going to like hook up with this girl." But
that's
like,
smart.
It's just like, it's a different apartment than when I dropped her off in. And it's, you know, it's just, I know people sublet in New York, but it felt shady to me. And Rachel was like, "What the fuck is wrong with you? Like, you're an idiot. Why do guys do shit like this?" And I was like,
"Testosterone."
I'm like, "Are you going to judge me or are you going to just take the idiot?" She's like, "Fine, I hear you." So then I go to the place and I have nerves because it's in the afternoon. And I said, "Hey, just meet me downstairs for a drink." And she comes downstairs and she goes, "Just come up. I have alcohol upstairs." And I said, "I just feel better if we go to the bar." It's like a luxury apartment in Williamsburg. It's a different place. I'm like, "This is weird." But then we go up to the apartment and the only thing in the apartment is a couch and a bottle of scotch. So I'm like, "This looks like a porno set. This doesn't look right." And then she pours me a scotch. I down it. She pours me another scotch. I start sipping on it. We start making out. She starts going down on me. And then she just stops and she goes, "I sure hope my roommate doesn't catch us." And I was like,
"What?"
"Yeah, I also hope your roommate doesn't catch us."
Is it a guy or a girl?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, let's go to your bedroom. And she goes, "No, I want him to catch us."
Oh.
So that's when I found out, dude. And like, obviously this is the time you leave, but it's like, I'm an idiot. I was just like, "All right, what, you know, you listen to your dick." You're like,
"Yeah, your dick's being smothered right now. I can't even hear it. It's in
my
your
dick's
mouth."
Like, "Dude, you know I have abandonment issues. Come on, don't leave me."
"Not right now, bro. Not right now."
So I said, "All right." So we
"I'm not your dad. I've been here since day one,
dude." Dude, I go to a bedroom. She starts going down to me again, and like, it's probably less than a minute, the door just opens and it's a guy, and He's in a tank top. He's all tatted up. He has a cast on one of his arms, which I'm just like, what the fuck? Like, I don't know why I remember the cast, but it's like,
because that's the thing that could knock you out if he hit you with
exactly.
it.
Yeah. That was one. And also, I was just like, this looks weird. Like, I don't know what the hell happened. And she's going down to me, and I just like, I just kind of panic and turn to him and I go, can I help you? She's going down to me still. I say, can I help you to this guy? And he just goes, are we going to do this? And I was like, oh my God. I said, I think there's been a misunderstanding. And he goes, so I'm fucking terrified. I'm like, I don't know. I'm like having images of him just like beating me with a hammer or something. And my mom having to identify the body with my pants down, you know, and, he's just like, are you in or you're out? And I was like, dude, what the fuck
is fucking girlfriend's mouth right now, bro. I'll be out of here in a minute.
Exactly. Like, they're dating, right? Yeah. I still haven't pieced this together. He's like, are you in or you're out? I'm like, is this Ocean's 11? I'm fucking out. What do you mean? Am I in or am I out? So I was like, I'm not. I just kind of said, I'm not this type of person. And he goes, yeah. Well, the door's that way. And I kind of look at her to be like, what the hell? Like, what have you done? And she just kind of shrugged, like, said nothing, just shrugged. And I'm like, all right, I'm freaked out. So I'm thinking, like, am I going to get robbed? Like, what the hell is this setup? I don't even pull my pants all the way up. I remember I had a backpack. I just, like, waddle over to the backpack. I put it around. I was like, all right, I'm leaving. And
down the hallway.
Yeah, like, and then that. I'm in the hallway, like, looking over my shoulder, grateful that I'm okay. But also, like, what? That's humiliating. I'm so confused. I don't know. I'm like, was that videotape? What the hell happened?
Yeah, that's a good point.
So I go into the elevator. I go downstairs. I start walking around the park in Brooklyn. I'm, like, feeling so fucking low about myself. And I kid you not, I call Rachel first. And she's like, I'm glad you're okay. I'm not mad at you. You're just a fucking idiot. And I was like, that's fair. I deserve that. After I talked to Rachel, my mom calls to see how the audition went.
How'd it go, honey?
More people went out for the part than anticipated. No, but it was brutal.
I think they already had their guy cast.
I told this story on something that my mom heard once, and my mom asked me, is this a true story? And I was like, I could lie to you, but I love you. Yeah, it's true, but, you know, I made it funny, I hope, you know, when you heard it. And she goes, yeah, it upsets me that that's true, but I'm glad that you have that ability to, like,
yeah,
you know, make it funny. But shit.
Yeah, that is fucking
scary. It was weird. And I remember I told this to a couple of friends. This is all you have to know about comics. I told this to a couple of friends at Caroline's, I think, like, the next night. And one of my friends goes, I would have fucked both of them, dude. That's all you have to know about every comedian. Yeah. It's like, whatever. Like, yeah. It's like the most tame story to any comic. You're just like, to me, it was a little traumatizing.
It is, man. To think, like, also, imagine being that guy. You're okay with your girl bringing any human being off the fucking street and walk in and see me sucking this guy's dick, and then you're going to come in and fuck us.
I don't know. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if there was, like,
where is he coming from?
She
he
goes
just
on
get off
dates?
Work? Like, where are you coming from, bro? Where are you coming from right now?
Well,
like,
he was there the whole time. He was hiding.
Oh, he was
so
hiding.
That's why I was scared, because I was like, he was, like, there the whole time.
Okay.
But then also, you're right. Like, what's the procedure? Is she, like, going through photos? He's like, I'm okay with this, dude.
This guy looks good.
Yeah. Is he all right? But, yeah, a lot of – and I kind of text her after, like, what the hell? And she goes, sorry, thought you'd be into that. I'm like, just on a fucking chance you're going to assume?
Whim.
You think
– yeah.
Like, if I did that to a woman, I'd be Me Too'd out of fucking show business. But this is just okay to put
life,
me through
bro,
it? Yeah.
There would definitely be charges. Probably.
There would be charges.
There's no doubt.
Because I have a dick, I don't feel shame and terrified and –
That's fucking crazy.
I mean,
crazy,
it's ridiculous.
Dude. That is ridiculous.
Like, I had some trust issues on first dates afterwards.
Dude,
I was definitely, like, looking. I was definitely, like, looking
in
closets.
We're meeting in public places. Yeah, I would, too. I'd be like, why are you looking in my shower?
It's like the way a little kid, like, looks under his bed for a boogeyman. I'm like, let me just make sure.
They thinking you're weird. Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Let's take a quick break and tell you about our next sponsor, Mint Mobile. After years of fine print contracts and getting ripped off by big wireless providers, if we learned anything, it's that there's always a catch. So when I first heard Mint Mobile offers premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month, I thought, what's the catch? But after speaking with them, it all made sense, all right? Mint Mobile's secret sauce is that they're the first company to sell wireless service online only. So by cutting out the retail stores, there's no crazy overhead costs that get passed down to you in the form of mystery fees. Instead, Mint just passes on sweet savings direct to you. So for people looking for extra savings, Mint Mobile offers premium wireless for just $15 a month. All plans come with unlimited talk and text and high-speed data delivered on the nation's largest 5G network. So you're using your own phone with any Mint Mobile plan, and you can keep your same phone number along with your existing contacts. And if you're not 100% satisfied, Mint Mobile has you covered with their 7-day money-back guarantee, okay? You can switch to Mint Mobile and get premium wireless service starting at just $15 a month. To get your new wireless plan for just $15 a month and get the plan shipped to your door for free, go to mintmobile.com/honeydew. That's mintmobile.com/honeydew. Cut your wireless bill to $15 a month at mintmobile.com/honeydew. Our next sponsor is Green Chef. Green Chef lets you choose from a wide array of easy-to-follow recipes perfect for keto, paleo, and plant-powered diets, or even if you just want to eat in a more balanced way. Green Chef's expert chefs design flavorful recipes that go way beyond ordinary for a diverse array of meal plans and plenty of options to choose from each week. Look, I've been getting them delivered to me. I get so many different options. They're easy to make. The recipes are simple. The ingredients are all right there. Stella helps me out with it. I'm like, give me a little bit of that, bang, bang, bang. We try it out. And they're really good meals. They're healthy. They're delicious. And it's nice to come home and have something like that instead of just eating fast food on the way home from the Comedy Store or something, you know. So here's what you got to do, all right? Go to greenchef.com/honeydew100 and use code honeydew100 to get $100 off, including free shipping, all right? It's, again, greenchef.com/honeydew100 and use code honeydew100 to get $100 off, including free shipping. That's a hell of a deal, y'all. They are the number one meal kit for eating well. Now, let's get back to the Dew. All right, well, you have another weird story I want to talk about, something you witnessed that I really want to hear about, because I know we've had nobody, I don't think we've had anybody tell a story like this.
I've talked about that one before. I've never talked about this one, I don't think, on a podcast or anything. And so what happened was, I was probably in sixth grade, and I was walking to the bus stop with my friend in New York City, and I remember just stopping. You have that student Metro card in New York. So I remember stopping going, hey, man, let me just stop to get my Metro card out. And right as I say that, splat, a woman jumped out of a building to her death, suicide, you know? Splat.
How literally close to you?
I was the closest person on the street to her.
So 10, 20, 30 feet?
I want to go like 8 to 10 feet away.
Did you get any splat on you, dude?
No. That was what was weird is, movies lie about that shit. There's not that much blood. What was really fucked up is she wasn't immediately dead.
No.
That was what was...
How high up do you know?
If I had to guess...
Three, four stories or more?
Probably more.
Holy fuck.
Yeah, she wanted... She was an old woman. She clearly wanted to die. But the fact that she was... I think all I remember was she goes, I'm cold. And...
she was speaking?
She mumbled, I'm cold. Someone heard that. And they walked over with a blanket for
her. You ain't gonna have to worry about that. Couple more seconds, probably gonna be a
brutal
for you.
Brutal,
dude. You could have died.
I know. I think about that sometimes, and I remember
this table's 6 feet long. Two more feet. That's how close this.
If I didn't
was
stop
you.
To get my Metro card out, I would
have hit
died.
You, right?
I remember
you had a near death experience because someone was taking their own fucking life.
I know.
That's crazy.
I remember thinking later, like angry for a minute, like you couldn't have done pills or blown your head off or something. Like what the hell? But she went splat, and I remember
face down. How did she fall? Do you see it
down.
All in your head still?
Yeah, she went
like head first or flat. Are we talking about
flat
pancake down?
Pancake
face down.
Yeah, face down pancake.
And nothing, not a gory bloody sight.
No, it wasn't.
Just like every bone probably turned to dust in her body.
Probably.
And she said, "I'm cold."
That's what she said to someone. Yeah.
That was it.
Yeah. She was mumbling.
How long were you, did you leave after that?
I worked
or were you
for
just
a
like
minute and then I was pretty
like,
freaked out and, yeah. and my friend and I got into a cab and we bolted. But I remember a couple people from my school called because they were like, who was there? And you know, this teacher, I was like, Mr. Jones, he was the best dude. He was like, he died a few years ago. He was such a cool teacher. He was like the type of teacher. He was like an old gay man and he just like, he was just the best. I remember I got in trouble for, this is so stupid I did. I can't believe I'm admitting this, but I used to, my friend's dad had like, you know, color print or whatever. We just printed out nudes on there and we sold it as a magazine in school to other sixth graders.
Damn, that's
entrepreneur, man.
Yeah, fuck
called
yeah.
Play Amigo magazine. And he found it and he goes, he looked at it and he goes, he's an old gay man. He was like, I'm just going to say that you were looking at Sears catalogs. And I was just like, ah, oh, he's the best. So he could have got me in trouble and he was like, yeah. You're fine. But he called and he's like, I just want to make sure you're okay. I'm like, oh, I'm okay. Yeah, yeah. And then I called. I had a kid I was pretty good friends with whose mom was like kind of nuts. And she, like, if she picked up the phone, you were going to hear 20 minutes from her. I was like a sixth grader,
yeah.
You know? Like, she was the type of mom where she was always really nice to me, but she would like just get new pets. Like, she'd be like, well, this pet's not cute anymore. I'm going to give it up for adoption. Like, completely nuts.
Yeah.
Like, she'd be like, I'd be like, what happened to that dog you had? She's like, oh, he grew up. And I was like, what? It's like 2 years
like
old.
Yeah.
Dude, there was always a new kitten. And I'm like, these are the cutest animals I've ever seen, but you can't just like get rid of, you know? So anyway, I call him to like check, just to tell him what happened. And she picked up the phone and it was like her just talking at me for like 20 minutes. She's like, and then this happened. And then also another thing, she's like, how was your day? I was like, oh, I just saw someone die. And she was like, oh, well, Elliot's not home right now. And I was like, Jesus.
Blew God. Right through that.
Just blew through it. Yeah. Just,
do you remember the sound?
Yeah. It was like a thud. It was loud.
Can you compare it to anything?
Like, I'll say this, the mind protects you in a weird way. So I remember when
does.
I first saw it, I was like, is this punked? I remember thinking like, am I on like a hidden camera show? Because you're just like, oh, maybe they're filming
right.
a movie
Why
or
would
something.
A body just be falling out of the sky?
You yeah. make excuses. So sure. I was like, maybe they're filming some sort of movie that they just didn't, that I stumbled onto a set, you know, in Midtown Manhattan. I don't know why, but yeah, I remember... It doesn't compute immediately. It takes you a second to realize. Because you're like, why would this happen in front of me or this close to me?
Right.
When it's that close, you're just like, what?
If that lady hits you,
yeah.
is it a murder-suicide? Would that be a murder-suicide?
I don't think there's going to be anyone to try, but yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
how you'd have to classify
yeah.
that.
I think you're right.
Fuck!
Yeah. It's a murder-suicide, yeah.
Have you ever seen it since then? Obviously, probably your first dead body, right?
Yeah.
You ever seen another one since?
Yeah, you see, in New York, you just see ambulances everywhere. So you
yeah.
see people getting loaded in, and you're like,
sure.
that guy's not doing well. But that was the first, like, just death I've seen, for
right.
sure, right? Yeah, that's,
that,
that's I mean, that was
crazy
weird.
To witness that.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah, it wasn't, it's weird. It would pop into dreams every once in a while, because heights is such a, I'm scared of heights to
Me
begin
too.
With.
I am now. I wasn't before.
Yeah, what happened? What
My
changed?
Daughter almost got hit by a car.
What?
And it rattled me, and it unearthed fucking anxiety that had been laying just kicking back, waiting for something to bring it up, and boom, it did. And all of a sudden, I got scared to fly, and I got scared of heights. And not the same. Like, when I look out a plane window, to me, that looks cartoonish. I don't fear that. But, like, a realistic height, like... I wouldn't live in a high rise in New York City.
Really?
And have a balcony and walk out. No, I couldn't do it.
Yeah, freaks
Not
me
anymore.
Out too.
But before that, it never bothered
It's like
me.
Having a gun.
Yeah.
Having a
I feel way safer having a gun.
Really?
I would have 20 guns in my home before I'd live on a 40th story.
I just mean
balcony.
If you get suicidal or something or something happens, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's what it, but like, yeah, I'm with you. The balcony freaks me out too.
No, I can't. I can't, it scares me. We were in, I was just talking about this with Segura. We were in this, it was a couple years ago, it was a Vegas festival. And they had all of us up in this really nice place.
Oh, did this go bankrupt, this festival?
I think it did, yeah.
Yeah.
And it,
I remember this.
They had a balcony and like 10 people were out there on it. And I remember walking out and it was up there. And first of all, the height got me nervous. And I was like, you know, and then I'm like, this is going to fucking, it's going to just snap. I feel like the weight of all you people on this is not, it's for a family normally. It's not
yeah.
for a party of 20 out here. And I just couldn't, I was like, excuse me, excuse me. I went right back in that fucking thing. I'm like, y'all can party out here all you want.
I'm not with me. You. I'm totally. I hate when people. You ever have that person when you're on like a high, on something, some high level, and they're just like kind of like joking around, dangling off. I'm like, that's not a fucking good joke. I don't like jokes that are just like that someone might die. Yeah, that's not my type of humor.
Do that shit. We were kids. We'd buy the cheap seats in the upper deck at 33rd Street to go see the Orioles, and you know, back those old stadiums were like this, and we'd be sliding by my dad. Go, oh, he'd always do that. I'm like, stop, god damn it, stop doing that shit, man. It's so scary.
It's a horrible joke. Also, that's don't do it if it's a way people actually die. Like that used to be a news story.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, he fought over the rail. For
like,
sure.
Oh, a deranged fan fell off, and you know,
yeah,
brutal.
What did that start your fear of heights? Do you remember having one? Before
I definitely
that?
Was like, that was a moment where I was like, oh, you could die randomly. That was a thing I thought like, so it just gave me a fear of death. I think,
yeah,
which is like probably why I try to put out as much material as possible, because I'm like, oh, I could just die in a random way. So that was one thing. And then
you said you did dream about it once in a while.
Yeah, I would have dreams of like people splattering me.
Oh, actually hitting you.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah.
And you would see that in your dreams?
Yeah, and I'd be like all smushed.
Man, I don't know if I've. I always thought they say if you see yourself die in your dreams, you really die. I don't know if I've ever seen myself.
Really?
Hit.
Maybe I didn't die. I just remember them
crushing you.
Crushing me. Yeah, yeah. Or like maybe I woke up before she even hit me. I remember just seeing. That woman.
And is it still that? Was it that lady every time? Like what you remember seeing? Do you remember what she was wearing?
It was so long. I was so young when I had it. I remember it was like a gown. It looked like some sort of gown.
And it's morning. You're on your way to school. Or is it coming home?
Coming home.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. I remember I got out of a test the next day and I was like, man, I'm so lucky. And now I look back, I'm like, oh, maybe I should have taken that test. I remember being like, I'm like, man, I don't have to take a test I didn't study for. They were like, you shouldn't have to take it. And I was like,
that's what trips me out about life is like the seconds that can actually matter. If you, what was it? You stopped to look for what again?
From the MetroCard to swipe onto the
bus. If you don't stop, boom. If you take that test, you know, you get a light on any other corner. You don't fucking see that. Well, you see her dead. You don't see it almost hit you. It's fucking
isn't that
nuts.
Crazy? Yeah. That's why
it's so important. The timing's everything.
Then you also have that thought where you're like, man, that's kind of a selfish way to kill yourself to jump out onto a crowded street.
Yeah.
But also then I go back and forth. I'm like, well, she's not thinking
who
in
even
the right.
Cares? Yeah.
She's not thinking in the right mind to take her own life. So then it's also hard to actually be upset. Like she's fucking dead. So, you know, that's. Yeah, I knew another kid who jumped out of a. I knew a kid who jumped out of a 30-story window and killed himself. Yeah, when I was in like
30 stories.
Yeah,
in New York.
Yeah,
that's what I'm talking about. I would never even live up there.
It's.
He I feel jumped, like sooner or later it calls you to come out of those. It calls the void. Like, just
what are
come
you
on,
a pussy, Sam? Jump, you'll be fine. Yeah.
How old was he?
Ninth grade or something.
Oh, he was young.
Maybe 10th grade, and I was in 8th grade. Maybe that's how it was.
And it was suicide? It wasn't an accident?
Or maybe I was 9th and he was in 11th. I think it was suicide. He was like a depressed kid.
35.
He was always doing drugs. He was like that kid at the party you always saw blowing lines and shit, but he was like way too young for that shit. Mm-hmm. And he was just like a nice guy. He was just like a nice fucked up guy. But I remember that was one where I was like, oh, I should probably not. That was my first thing. I was like, I probably should not do hard drugs because he was always doing them. And I was like, he's fucked up. But I remember at the funeral, there were people doing blow. And I'm like, ah, it's like the worst fucking people.
For real?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
God damn. All right, let's switch gears. We've been down enough. Let's talk. You got two stories I want to hear. I want to hear a Latrell Sprewell, and I want to hear Pittsburgh Morning TV story.
Okay, I'll do. Which one should we do first?
Let's do Latrell.
He was my favorite Knicks growing up. I'm such a big basketball fan. I love Starks. I love Ewing, Oak, Mace.
I had the Patrick Ewing Adidas back in the day when I was a kid. Yeah,
he was just special. I loved them, but. Then that next team, that older team, I loved LJ, I loved Spree. I really loved Sprewell. And, I mean, that guy, his whole career was insane. He choked his coach.
He did.
PJ Carlissimo.
It was Portland then, right?
Golden State.
Oh, Golden State.
Choked
his
coach, and the Knicks picked him up, which you're like, okay, I mean, I'll take it. I know he's a great player. And he was awesome. Like, he couldn't – it's, like, crazy that a guy does that, and then he shows up to a huge market – and, you know, exceeds expectations. So I loved him. And then I'm doing a gig in Baltimore years ago, and I get off stage. I'm in a Knicks sweatshirt. I love the Knicks. I love basketball. But the host goes, you should go drink at that bar with us because we go there all the time, and Sprewell's there every night in Milwaukee. He's from Milwaukee. And I said, he's not going to be there. And like he's fucking Kenny Powers. He's just like, you know, getting lit up. He's a hometown hero there. And we're there, and I'm like, hey, he's not going to come. He comes in. He walks in. He's got dyed red hair. He's in a sweatsuit. He's a big dude. He's noticeable. He's at the bar, and someone whispers to me, he drinks Honey Jack. And I'm like, ooh, all right. So I go over to him, and I was like, oh, man, I'm such a big fan of yours. I never do this shit. But I was like an idiot. I was young, you know? And I said, and he goes, okay. And I'm just like, can I get you a drink? He goes, I already have a drink. And I was like, I'm like, think what card can I play?
Yeah.
So I panic, and I was like, I'm a comedian. I'm playing the club next door. You should come to a show this weekend. He goes, don't count on it. I'm just
three
like,
words.
Oh, brutal.
Four words.
Brutal.
It's good writing, though.
It's brutal. And then I said, all right.
God
and
I damn. So I feel it inside right now. Like,
it hurt. Oh, it hurt. Yeah, I go back to the end of the bar, and then she we're with a few other people, and one of them works for Bleacher Report. He goes, I'll handle this. And he walks over, and we just see Spree, like, go losing at him. I was like, I got off easy. All right, shit. So whatever. We watch him be kind of rude to a bunch of other people. He's not really having it. Maybe just wants to drink alone, whatever. Couple nights later, the bartender from the bar, you know, she's at my show, and she starts talking to me afterwards. She goes, you know, he can be tough, but he's really a sweetheart. And I was like, all right, whatever. And she texts him, look, I'll show you. I'm at the comedian who you met the bar the other night. I'm at his show. And Spree goes, oh yeah, great guy. That's what he writes back. I was like, that's how he treats someone he thinks a great guy. She's
don't
like, he's just not, he's not warm, but he's a good guy. And I was like, I think he just likes his bartender. Anyway, yeah, years later, I had a sports show on MSG, and I had him. He was pretty nice. I didn't mention this story. I was going to. I was going to, but here's what happened. So I would do a cold open thing with any athlete or actor that came on the show where the joke would be they just didn't want to be there, but that we'd do it in different ways. Like I'd have like, CeCe Sabathia would be sitting there, and I'd be like, oh, dude, I'm so happy to have you. He's like, are you kidding? It's my favorite show. And I'd be like, really? And be like, no. Are you kidding? Yeah. It's like, this show stinks. Like, and athletes would always – they were down. They were down to, like, be funny. Mm-hmm. And I asked Spree, I'm like, hey, it'd maybe be funny if, like, you're just texting, and I keep asking you you know, I keep saying, like, hey, you know, I keep asking you questions. You keep going, uh-huh, and you just keep nagging me. And he was like, no, I'm not doing that. He was the only person to say that, so I was kind of like, I already feel like we got off on the wrong foot.
I'll do that in real life, but not on camera.
I'm not doing a character.
I'm not doing me in real life.
Well, I think that's what he was known as, having a hard edge, where these other guys weren't. So if he does that on the show, maybe. I get why now, but in the moment, I was like, I don't want to
be choked.
Yeah. I don't want to, like, piss him off twice. Yeah. So I was kind of like, so, I mean, you were, you know, 99 finals. I'm just like trying to get away from that. But it ended up being like, you know, I was so nervous. That would end up being not one of my better interviews. But, I mean, dude, he was the best. Even that night after he snubbed me or whatever, I watched clips of him on the Knicks. And I was like, I still love the guy. Yeah, what can you do? Yeah, he's the best.
Let's hear about this morning show in Pittsburgh.
I've
never had to do morning TV. Morning radio.
It's fun if you make it a disaster.
That's what I'm saying. Like, Segura really figured it out. Tracy Morgan's the king of wrecking morning TV.
So good. I've never seen Tracy Morgan, but the Segura stuff I've seen is so great. And I've heard about Tracy Morgan. And then, I'd be like, well, the only way I'm going to move tickets on here, like, this isn't exactly my target demo, is people that sincerely watch morning TV. So I would just try to make it go off the rails. So... Also, you're on 2 hours sleep. People don't realize when you're doing these shows, you literally slept for 2 hours because you have a night show. Then you have to wake up at like 6, and then you have 2 shows that night. So you're just like, I'm on fumes. And then also, how many of these shows can you do where they do no research? The questions are so phoned in where they're just like, so have you always been funny? And I'm just like, she asked me that. The woman asked me that. And I go, I say, no, actually, I wasn't. When I was young, my uncle molested me and he was funny. And he gave me Spider-Man like powers. And they just stare at me and they go, okay, then.
I saw this interview now that you say that.
And as I walk off, I say to the producer, they're fuming. A couple people laughed their ass off. But I said to one producer, I was like, can I get that clip? And he goes, absolutely not.
Don't count on it.
So don't count on it. Well, I say, I'm like, I don't know how to get that. That clip is so damn perfect. How do I get
it?
So I go on Twitter. Does anyone record Pittsburgh Today Live or whatever? And someone did. It wasn't great quality, but we got it. And
that's what I saw.
They won't do comics
live,
on
live.
They won't have us anymore in their
so
shows.
So you are the last comic.
So if you're playing the Pittsburgh Improv and you don't have morning TV, you're welcome.
Thank you. Thank
but that's
you,
but that moved a lot of tickets because I'm like, that's the only way. If I'm doing morning radio and it's like a sincere radio guy who like, I'm like that, it was different than the energy being like, coming up next, which treat goes well with this? I'm like, this is not right.
It's so good. I love that shit.
Love doing those.
I mean, I remember seeing that. You got to go watch that video. Find that clip. It's so good. I remember watching it. So what after that, you walk out and they're just pissed off?
They were just like, what the hell was that? I would cushion it. I would try to build up to those moments so they would be – like I would try to like answer everything very sincerely and then sneak a moment like that in because that moment would be so unexpected. So,
good.
But the hardest part was keeping a straight face because there was a moment where you see in the video where I'm literally right after I say that, I say it and I look seriously, and there's a moment where I just look at the camera and smile. And you could see that I was like this close to breaking.
I love it, dude. I love it. But you know what? You're right. Fuck them. Do your job.
Yeah.
Do your goddamn job. Can you ask some real questions? You can't go look me up and ask me any. Oh, we saw a clip you did about this. Why
exactly.
Nothing.
If it's sincere, but then you do some where they do that. And then I'm like, well, I'm going to seriously just try to kill in just joke form with like what I would do at a show or something. But then when you do the ones who are just like, you could tell they don't respect what you
do.
Have
you always been funny is so fucking
it's
like
so
how
lazy.
Much work did you do?
It's so lazy.
You could have asked your kids last night. I got this comic come on. What should we ask them?
Yeah.
They would have come up with something better than have you always been funny.
It's just, you know what it is? It's also them being like, we're going to do no research or no work. Carry the interview.
Yes.
So it's like, it's beyond lazy. So I'm like, all right, I'll do what I want to do. If you're going to like give me the floor, I'm going to, you know.
Dude, I really appreciate you coming on. And
it was a ton of fun to be on, man.
I'm glad you came on and the shit you talked about with your dad. So will he come to shows now? Like, will
He's
you see
old.
Him again?
I don't. It's been a while. He's pretty old. I mean,
you said he also had this mental thing going on too, breakdown.
Which might great. The one thing I might inherit from you is.
That's the other thing. Do you have any genetic shit you got to worry about?
Probably. I mean, I'm sure.
Is his wife still with him?
Yeah.
The lady you met, and she's still cool with you too?
Yeah, she's really cool.
She's taking care of him or whatever?
Yeah, she's very cool. But yeah, I'm sure. I mean, I guess other than that, he's in decent health, you know? But that's a rough one. I mean, I'm like, hey, shit, the one thing we need is our minds in this field, you know? So,
but he's in his 80s now, you said?
It's like 86 probably.
That's up there.
Maybe more, yeah.
It's all right. There. This is your first time here on the show, and I ask everybody their first time on advice you would give to your after everything we've talked about, advice you would give to your 16-year-old self.
Probably just like, don't worry so much. Like it's things are going to happen or they're not.
Are you a big worrier?
My mom is the biggest worrier of anyone I've ever met in my life.
Yeah.
Like she always thinks it's like, she's like, oh, I'm glad she sounds like Olivia Soprano when I make fun of her, when she's just like, oh, I guess I'm just a big joke around here. But I love my mom, but she worries. I mean, like, I get it. I'm her only biological kid. But she worries, I think, before that. She's a worrier. She's just like, she'll admit it. She's like, I worry a ton. I mean, I literally have a bit about me walking with her and seeing a dead pigeon. I go, oh, look. And my mom goes, don't touch it.
Like you're going to run.
What do you think I'm going to do?
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's her energy, is just constant worry. And So yeah, it does make me a little more anxious, and yeah, but then it's like, well, look, my girlfriend worries a shitload too. I mean, that's, I think I may be attracted to that because it, I take worrying as a sign of love and care. So maybe that's
interesting.
A part
yeah.
of it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I worry because of that.
Okay.
But then there's also a part of me that's like, who gives a shit? Like, you know, like the worrying's covered. But then for a period, I think when I was 16, I was like, oh no, like you think things matter that don't matter. And then you grow up and you think things matter again that don't matter. That cycle repeats. And then you're like, what really matters is that you surround yourself with decent people.
That's right.
Who make you feel good and that you make feel good. And just that you don't waste this shit, you know, that you, yeah. that, you that you have your health and that you don't waste, you know, this go around, I guess, you know, to sound cheesy.
I do this 5-minute journal every day, and every fucking day, the first thing I put down almost 90% of the time is I'm grateful for my health. Because when I was fucked up, like I went through this whole health scare a few years ago, and it's like, man, every day I wake up and I don't have to worry about pain, injury, being sick, none of that shit. Like
yeah.
your health is, it's everything.
It's crazy.
It's fucking everything.
Even when you have a bad cold, that first day you feel better, you're like, oh my God.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
and this
everything.
Business is, especially you said you love the road. So
I love it.
It's a challenge to stay healthy on the road with all the garbage they feed you, with the easily fast food available options out
yeah.
there. No exercising unless you really fucking.
You have to work for those.
That's right.
For those extras. Oh, man, yeah. I was swimming at that. There was a rec center in Raleigh and I was doing laps. And a guy next to me had a fucking epileptic seizure.
While you're in the fucking pool?
He got out. He was like panicking, but
okay.
he got out, but he's like, it looked like a dying fish on the side of the thing. He was like, it was horrible.
Whoa.
They had to call an ambulance. Yeah, I felt so bad for the guy. And the craziest thing is I looked at him.
Lane 2's open.
But I looked at the guy right before it happened. I was like, that guy's in good shape. Like you never,
you really,
you
like,
never know.
You're 100%.
You never know what someone's going through. He was in like better shape than me, so I was like, well, he's in good shape.
Yeah, but he's got epilepsy, so yeah.
You don't know. You don't know.
No idea.
That's another thing. Like 16. Like empathy is something I've had to work on, and it's really since I was a kid, it was hard for me to have empathy. And like as I get older, I do realize that everyone's got shit that they don't. And sometimes the best people don't bring that shit around. Because they don't want to burden anybody.
Right.
But just because someone acts happy all the time doesn't mean they're not going through shit. So definitely to have more empathy for people is something I'm working on as well. But
yeah, me too. Dude, this was great. Please plug everything you want again.
I got the two specials on YouTube up on the roof, and I got this. And then, you know, two podcasts. One's if you're into basketball, you'll love Pod Don't Lie. If you're into just whatever general stuff, so we might be drunk. And, yeah, I'm on the road constantly. So, yeah, I mentioned a bunch of dates. Yeah, I'm coming to your city. So, you know, Boston, Philly.
What's your website?
Portland, samuel.com.
It's all there, right?
/shows, all there, yeah.
All right. Dude, thank you so much.
It was
this
a pleasure,
was great,
man.
Yeah, this was a lot of fun. And as always, ryansickler.com, Ryan Sickler on all social media. We will talk to you all next week.